Hey, welcome to the doorway to the supernatural. We're talking about the nine gifts of the Spirit out of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Now, these nine gifts of the Spirit have been given to the church as an adornment. They are the only thing that establishes the validity of the church. Now, if you would want to see if people had faith in the name, trust in the name, then these signs will follow those that believe. Jesus said they would follow. He said, greater works that I do, you shall do also. So we have to understand that when the Holy Ghost comes into our life, we, as it were, rise up and we express Christ in its fullness. The church was first called Christians at Antioch because of what they had done.
Yeah.
They had turned the world upside down, sickness into health, and a bondage into freedom, a possession into liberty. So they turned the world upside down. And these gifts of the Spirit that we're talking about are given to every man and every woman. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't get one gift of speaking in tongues. What you do is that is a sign that there are eight other gifts on the inside of you. Speaking in tongues is an evidential gift of an indwelling Spirit, Holy Ghost. And so anybody that speaks in tongues should be operating in the gifts of the Spirit for a simple fact that they have evidential manifestation that the Holy Ghost is in them. And if you can move in and out of the gift of tongues at your discretion, then these gifts can be activated. And now, of course, the Holy Ghost divides several as he wills, but the Holy Ghost and the gifts can be activated because they're activated by faith, just like speaking in tongues is activated by faith. They work off the same premise. And so when we speak in tongues, we get so used to this, we have to understand that we can, Rob, move in and out of the Holy Ghost at our discretion.
Yeah.
And Paul told us to pray for the gifts, you know, when he said, covet earnestly, but then when he said that if you speak in an unknown tongue, pray that you would interpret. So God wants us to have these gifts, but they won't come to light or fruition or activity in our life unless we covet them, use our faith to apprehend them. Now, the Holy Ghost is a part of a promise.
Yeah.
And so every promise is partaken of or received by faith through patience. Mm. And so we can use our faith to receive the Holy Ghost, but not just to receive the Holy Ghost, but to activate or to live under the power, the influence, the anointing, the enablement of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. His operating rule in our life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When we yield to him, submit, and desire, and seek.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. So let's read, Rob, 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 7, on down through 10.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues.
So we see that there was the word of wisdom that we discussed at great length for 2 weeks. And then we started talking about the word of knowledge. And the word of knowledge is accompanied with something that is called faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yeah.
And when we are using the word of knowledge, it unveils people what is taking place, and faith rises up. We talked about the woman, the Samaritan woman by the well. Where she said, well, you know, one day we're going to worship God in these mountains, and so forth. And then Jesus does what? He says to the woman, you know what? If you knew who I was, you'd ask for water.
Water.
But in order to give her faith of who he was, it was the word of knowledge that came forth.
Yeah.
And out of that, she believed he is the Messiah.
Yeah.
He is the one sent from God. So this word of knowledge unveils, as it did in Nathanael's life that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
It causes men to confess that Jesus is Lord of their life. Yeah. To have, I know that Nathanael had faith in the law.
Yeah.
He had faith in a coming Messiah, but he did not have faith that Jesus was the Messiah until faith came through a word of knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, can anything good come from Nazareth?
You know, yeah, you know? Yeah, absolutely. So, boy, everything in there. So
yeah.
Jesus must come from the wrong side of the tracks, the slums of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
But anyway, so these words of knowledge do certain things for us. They direct our path. They show us things that have to do with other people. And they show us where people are spiritually. They show us what people have been doing.
Yeah.
They show us things that God is going to do in their life and so forth. So it's kind of a word of knowledge could be showing or unveiling things to come.
Yeah.
So a word of knowledge can do that and reveal to us things to come so that we can prepare. You know, Pharaoh received a word of knowledge from God. Now, I think the reason that he received the word of knowledge was that, number one, Pharaoh in Joseph's time was a believer.
Yeah. Yeah.
He believed in God because the Bible says that, you know, only until a Pharaoh rose up that did not believe in God.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Joseph's Pharaoh believed in God. And especially after Joseph came in contact with him and started interpreting his dreams. And then that word of knowledge came in a dream. You're going to have these many years lean and this many years abundant.
Yeah.
And so he looked for a man that had wisdom.
Yeah.
The word of wisdom was on a Joseph's side. And he said, this is what we need to do.
Yeah.
But he had a word of knowledge about what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And God will give us a word of knowledge, and we need to discern when it should be used and when it should not be used.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at the word of knowledge again today. And let's go over to Luke 22 and verse 7, Rob. Luke 22, 7. This is the word of knowledge that Jesus is using.
It says, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. They said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall be a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And you shall say unto the good men of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber? Where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples, and he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. There make ready.
In this passage of Scripture, I think we see so much of the word of knowledge, how it can help our personal life, not just in a church service.
Yeah.
To, you know, release faith and to breathe faith and to give faith. But here, it shows us, they said, where should we go?
Yeah.
The word of knowledge is something that directs our path. It gives us steps to take.
Yeah.
That God would have us take, not that man would have us take, but that God would have us take. So we know that the word of knowledge is a part of the leading of the Holy Ghost in our life. And then it says, and behold, when you enter into a city, there we see that the word of knowledge reveals to the city they're supposed to go to. And there shall be a man carrying water, bearing a pitcher of water, and follow him to the house where he entereth, and then say unto him, good man of the house. You know, word of knowledge will give you what to say.
Yeah, what to say.
Remember when they released the ass? And if any man say anything to you, say, The Lord hath need of him. All you had to say. You didn't have to say, well, you know, man, hey, you know, Jesus, he was born of Mary. Man, you know, his son, Joe, you know, he fulfilled the scriptures. And, you know, he's a great rabbi. They didn't say any of that. They just say, now, that had to shut up the minds of speculation, the minds of unbelief, the threatening of, hey, they're taking my donkey.
Yeah.
It had to just cause the peace of God to come into a situation.
And it was a word of knowledge to go get that.
And it was a word of knowledge to go get that.
You would see where he's
going to
be, where he's tied up. Yeah.
Where it's going to be, where it's going to be tied up at. Yeah. So the word of knowledge can give us very distinct directions as well as reveal to us things that we are supposed to be connected to. Hmm. I like to refer this, and I use when I'm releasing the gifts of the Spirit, God, I release the word of knowledge to reveal to me who to join myself to. Yes, I trust that, you know, just my regular everyday involvement. I understand that. But I still want God to give me a word of knowledge in order to show me who I can join myself with and who I can follow.
Yeah, that's good.
Because the heart of man is most deceptive above things. And we can be deceived, and we can be overcome. We can be swooned. You know, accolades and all those things help deaden our discernment. But here, it shows us about who we are to have. You know, when you're praying for your children and stuff, we ought to be praying, God, you know, I want you to direct us, warn us, and give us, God, a word of knowledge of who our children should be around. And now, it doesn't mean they always have to be around Christians. I don't believe in isolationism. I do believe that there are kids that are going to do certain things and all that. We can't harbor our kids from the world.
Yeah, exactly.
We can't do it. So, but we can get a word of knowledge to say, don't let them join themselves. Because you don't know what they're doing. You don't know what type of spirit they have or anything like that. So the word of knowledge can show us who to become friends with and who not to become friends with, who to follow, who to join ourselves with, as well as what to say. And to have our steps ordered of the Lord.
Yeah, that's true.
So that is one of the purposes of the word of knowledge. And then we talked about Peter. Jesus, knowing that Peter was in dire needs, because he said, look, Satan hath desired to sift thee like wheat, but I prayed for you. So the word of knowledge can direct us into areas of intercession, areas of praying for one for another. And God can show us those things. A word of knowledge can show us things to come, because Jesus says, go to this city. And you'll see this man. So they're showing us things to come. You're going to find this guy carrying the water pot, a pitcher of water.
Jesus already seen him. Yeah, he already seen him and knew where he was going to be, what he looked like.
Absolutely. So Jesus saw things to come. And he could tell them, this is what you need to do. This needs to be your response. And what if we could send our children away every morning with, now look, this is, might happen to you, Dave. This is how I want you to respond to it. So, you know, it's important that we have the word of knowledge operative in our life.
You know, Pastor, I don't think many Christians on a day-to-day basis expect to even operate in the word of knowledge. You know, we pray in tongues and, you know, prophecy we want, you know, we seek after and all these things. But the word of knowledge, I think, is rarely pursued for its benefit in our life, because I that's why I think it's important that you're doing this teaching, because I don't think most people realize the operation of the word of knowledge in its fullest capacity.
The operation of this word of knowledge reveals to us so many things and orders our steps of the Lord. And also, it's like, you know, don't worry about what you're going to say, but, you know, Matthew 10:20. When you speak, it'll be the spirit of your Father that speaketh in you. Just a word of knowledge that tells a man, oh, you said that. Well, here, I open up my whole house. Are you kidding me? I mean, to a 12 guys. They could have been, you know, Judas's thieves or marauders. You know, and your family's in that house.
Yeah.
For a man to loose an ox or an ass for because, well, the Lord has need of them. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
That was a lot of money. That was his wealth.
Yeah, his livelihood, right?
Yeah.
Now. Yeah.
And so I think that the word of knowledge needs to be sought and released in our life.
Yeah.
A word of knowledge would reveal or enable us, like this man, you know, he opened up his life. He opened up his heart. What if we had a word of knowledge about our children and we just said something?
Yeah.
Just said what God told us to say. Not that it made any sense, not that it did anything, but it penetrated the hearts of our children that impressed them or formed them that they would follow a certain path or they would speak a certain way or they would reject certain things.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, sometimes that we have to realize that, you know, God is infiltrating our families with this word of knowledge.
I know there's been times in my life where I've had certain words just given to me in casual conversation, and that actually, you know, like a lights went off when I heard it, you know, and it changed my whole perception and perspective. And
and that is the word of knowledge.
Yeah.
It is the one that's saying, look, God knows everything.
Yeah.
God knows everything. I know where you're going. I know the hearts of men. I know their thought patterns. I know who they're serving behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I know all things about that.
Yeah.
But this is who I want you to join yourself to.
Yeah.
You know, when Philip was preaching to the Ethiopian, he saw him go by, and the word of knowledge comes and said, join thyself.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he run and joined himself to it, and he brought conversion.
Conversions. Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, Peter was told, go, doubting nothing.
Yeah.
And he came to Cornelius' house.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I go nowhere or do anything except I hear or see my Father do it. Yeah. The word of knowledge must have been very prevalent in Jesus' life.
Yeah.
He says, let us go to the other side.
Yeah.
Well, we understand, you know, he must have heard or saw God do that.
Yeah.
Faith is put in Jesus, but then Jesus says, let us go to the other side. Faith is put in them.
Yeah.
And so they get over there, and guess what? They run into a storm.
Yeah.
Well, why is Jesus so bold to speak? Because the word of knowledge has filled him with the faith, I'm going to the other side.
Yeah. The storm.
Forget about ration and reason.
Yeah.
I'm going to the other side.
Yeah.
And so I've been given faith. A word of knowledge will give you a dimension and a measure of faith that nothing can stop.
Yeah. And all the times they sought to kill Jesus, he knew it wasn't his hour.
Yep.
Right? So he had faith.
You're right.
That I'm not going to die this hour. This ain't going to, you know, this is not going to happen.
And he made the proclamation.
Yeah.
You know, I will go up. This will be what I'm going to do. And the Son of Man must die on the cross.
Yeah.
He had a word of knowledge to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. He had the word of knowledge.
Yeah.
Pray three times. You don't need to ask for anymore.
Yeah.
Pray three times. Yeah. So he had a word of knowledge. Even when the man was cut off, his ear was cut off.
Yeah.
God, what am I supposed to do? The word of knowledge. Pick the ear up,
put it back on. Yeah.
That was a word of knowledge.
Absolutely.
And certainly it's followed with the working of miracles or the gifts of healing. But the word of knowledge said, don't run from this. Pick it up.
Yeah.
And the word of knowledge, say this.
So the word of knowledge then opens up, you know, a whole other, you know, greater realms of possibility.
Yeah,
and greater dimensions of what God can do. Like this, they go in the upper room. Now that upper room's established as a place where the you know the Last Supper would take place, communion. I mean, it opened up something in the church that would be universal.
Oh yeah,
because this man responded
absolutely
to a word of knowledge.
The word of knowledge not only is accompanied by faith, but when God gives a man faith to go into a city like this, go in and follow a man's house and then say something, there is an authority that goes with what the word of knowledge has given you to say.
Yeah.
If not, it'd just be like,
yeah,
who are you, you dummies? I'm not giving you my upper room.
But you're speaking as God is speaking as his authority.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is repeating what God has said.
Yeah.
And so, and that's what people that are inspired of God did. This is what God would say. And it's filled with power. Hebrews 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
It's filled with authority. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, the centurion said, you know, I'm a man under authority. Say this, say that. So the word of knowledge is filled with faith, but it's also filled with authority.
Yeah.
So that when God gives you a word of knowledge, you're unbendable.
Yeah.
You've heard from God. I think that might have been one of the great underlining strengths of the faith of men that were martyred for Christ.
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
I have heard from God.
Yeah.
What else can I do but die for him?
I think it was a great missionary, Hudson Taylor, said, you know, I'm invincible until my assignment is over.
Yeah.
You know, and,
right.
And so he knew that no matter where he was until the Lord said it was time, he was
absolutely
invincible. Yeah.
And that's the truth.
Yeah.
Let's look at Luke 5, and let's go from 1 on down to 8.
And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and they filled both ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.
There, Jesus has a word of knowledge of what boat to get into.
Yeah.
You know, there was James, John, and Peter. So may be concluded that they either fished out of the same port or the same dock, or that they helped each other.
Yeah.
Whichever. And usually in fishing communities or anything like that, you know, they are conversing. Hey, the fish are over here, the fish are over there. And everybody has good days and bad days.
They were having a bad one.
There you go. And so Jesus comes in, and he picks the boat that God tells him to go, and then he gets a word of knowledge about how to direct Peter's steps of the use of faith.
Yeah.
And he says, Peter, I want you to go out and launch out and drop down for a draught a fish. And so he does that, and he catches fish.
Yeah.
Well, man, how did he know the fish was there? There wasn't any sonar. He certainly wasn't, on a bass boat.
Yeah.
And so Jesus had a word of knowledge.
Yeah.
That's where it is.
Yeah, and it superseded Peter's wisdom.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Superseded all the skills that he had ever had.
Yeah, his experience.
That never happened.
Yeah.
I mean, that had never happened before.
Yeah.
So, and all of his skills, all of his toils, just simply have produced nothing.
Yeah.
But when we get a word from God, it can take barren land and cause it to prosper. It can take empty boats, cause it to be filled. It can take broken lives and cause them to be made known. It can take those that are hopeless, it'll give them a way where there is no way. So a word of knowledge has a lot to do with us being in a place of prosperity and increase in our life.
Yeah.
And so we need to have that active in our life. You know, if we just say, well, you know, God told me to sow, and, you know, and then you just sow to the four winds.
Yeah.
That I understand people do that. But it would be better to sow where God directed us to sow.
Intentionality,
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so Jesus does this, they pulled it up, and they get two boats, and both of the ships begin to sink. Yeah. Now, what happens again? Typical outcome.
Yeah.
Simon believes Jesus.
Yeah, he believes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's this little simple thing that God can do, and to open up the word of knowledge in our life, Rob, to show us how to make barren places productive. Hmm. One of the things I think that pastors need to understand is that, you know, you can build your church like someone else if that's the kind of church you want.
Yeah.
But I want a God church. I want a God-formulated church. I don't want to be somebody else's leftovers.
Yeah, right.
I want to be God's man. I want to be God's man of faith and his power and demonstration. I want to be what God wants us to be. But God will show us even a word of knowledge, Rob. Yeah. He'll show us where to have a crusade, a word of knowledge of where to go soul witnessing,
yeah,
a word of knowledge where to put team out in street witnessing, a word, yeah, of knowledge where to take the clothing bus. God will give us those words because he is aware of what he's been doing in that community,
that
in those people's lives.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. So he'll give us a word of knowledge and say, you know what? It's now time to put in the sickle.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so the word of knowledge is very important to our life, everything, yeah, from friendships,
yeah,
to people that we follow, to things that we say,
yeah,
things that we instruct,
absolutely,
other people to do, protects our children and our families from relationships, and enables us, in this passage of Scripture, to produce a measure that others will come,
yeah,
and be partakers of.
Yeah. When we were in street witnessing Lima, and we're looking for a place to do the outreach, I just seen Martin Luther King Park, and that's where I felt like the Lord said, do it there. And I had other people, there's better parks.
Yeah.
Right? But what God was already doing in that community is what he wanted to do.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So
absolutely. Cool deal.
And just, you know, being obedient, and you'll see what God does.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we want the leading of God, and one of the ways that God leads us is by the word and the gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so the word of knowledge, now the word of knowledge does not supersede God's word.
No.
We want to make sure that we understand that. But the word of knowledge is the voice of God. It may just be a verification voice. It may be a new directive, but it will be filled with faith.
Yeah.
It will be filled with a directive. It will be filled with, you know, wisdom even. A word of wisdom and a word of knowledge can operate one
together
in one.
Yeah.
And like it did in Luke 5th chapter, you had to have wisdom to,
yeah,
where to let the net down, when to let it down.
Yeah.
And so we use the word of knowledge, and God will use us in the word of knowledge.
Yeah.
And it will strengthen our relationships and bring us to places that really we've never been. And I'm telling you, when you go there with God, the results that you're going to get are far easier,
yeah,
than if you're struggling with it yourself. So it's almost like getting a word of God,
yeah,
like the word of knowledge told Abraham, come out,
yeah,
from
go
among your,
yeah,
family,
yeah,
in-laws too. But, yeah, Abraham brings Lot, and guess what? In-laws got the problem, but yeah, God brings him out into a land where he's going to show him.
Yeah. Let me ask you on that. So a word of wisdom led him out.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a word of knowledge that kept him going to show him the future? Like, you know?
Well, the word of knowledge would have brought them out. Here, I'm going,
okay,
to take you to a place that you know not of.
Yeah, yeah.
So now it's a word of knowledge. What do you know? I got to go there.
Yeah.
But the word of wisdom also gave them the ability to deal,
yeah,
with the kings and so forth that they, okay, came in contact with.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was wise for Abraham, because it wasn't sin under the Abrahamic covenant,
yeah,
to say, tell them you're my sister. Because,
yeah,
actually she was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she was born not of the probably of the same father, but not of the same mother.
Yeah.
And so she was in actuality,
yeah,
a sister. So did he lie? No, he didn't lie.
Yeah.
But he did fear.
Yeah.
But the wisdom of his statement brought him to a place where he, in the end,
yeah,
was given favor,
yeah,
by a king.
By a king, yeah.
So the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, and really all of the gifts can function together simultaneously, and we divide them to teach on them.
Yeah.
But in essence, they're so knit together.
Yeah.
You know, like you speak in tongues, now you need to pray to interpret.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then what do you? Well, then you have to speak it out, which is equal to prophecy.
Yeah.
So, you know, every gift is correlated or joined together with the other one.
Well, you can see where wisdom and knowledge would come into play even with prophecy.
Yeah.
You know, speaking forth in the future and seeing things and declaring, forth telling, and, you know.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we'll be discussing all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Hey, we want to thank you for being with us. Don't forget to join us next time, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 o'clock, right here. And I know that you're going to be blessed. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that the gift of the word of knowledge become active in their life. Stir it, God. God, I release it now in dreams, in visions, God. And God, speak to them. God, let the word of knowledge, God, direct their course and their path. Oh, God, I loose it in the name of Jesus upon them, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, we'll see you next time. God bless. Bye-bye.